This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lady Mercy won't be home tonight. Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Hello, Tammy, first on the stream on Facebook. We're also streaming at YouTube. A couple of housekeeping details. So at 10 a.m. this morning, our FM signal that we've been using 98.7 FM became hot 98.7. So the music, the hip hop music that had been playing the last couple of years at 104.1 FM can now be found at 98.7. The week from next Monday, the 24th, like midnight, we go live at 104.1 FM. Until then, you have 1120, you have 102.5 HD, you have the Odyssey app, you have podcasts, you have the streams, so you guys can listen that way. And 2 weeks from this last Monday, it's an awkward time, right? It's not like next week or, you know, next month. It's just kind of weird.
It's 12 days.
12 days. There you go. We will be live, and then we will, of course, be live from then on and for opening day. So there you go. 2 hours and 7 minutes on the game.
Woo!
That's 2 hours and 7 minutes longer than I played baseball today.
Man, they were hauling butt today, weren't they?
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have a perfect game against you for six-plus innings.
Yeah.
And to
Is
be
that
fair,
good?
And to be fair, the Cardinals' pitching was good, too, right? So I think you only had a total of 8 hits in the game and only 2 runs. So it's not like there are any long innings or anything like that. It was up and down. See you later.
So it's a rite of passage for us to complain about game days. And this is our first one, so let me just get it out of the way. It's one of the benefits of being the afternoon show on KMOX. Like, anytime during baseball season, I see Reardon in the bathroom. He's like, oh, I'm so mad at you. Like, I just get so mad thinking all
these
the days
used to be
off
his
you
days.
Did. They used to be his days. But I'll just own this one myself. I'm so weird about this because, okay, we just went on at 2:30. So we could get here at 1:30 and be fine. I rolled in here today at 9:45. And here's the thing. I have things I need to do. Nothing hugely pressing, but I have some documents I need to drop off at Weber. I have some stuff I need to take to the bank and get the estate bank account set up for my mom, all that kind of stuff. I should have done that today. It's the perfect day to do it, but instead,
I got off my couch, came in here, sat on my chair, continued watching TikTok, and just sat here rotting all day. I had a nice lunch with my friend Andrew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so weird. And then we didn't do this today, but typically we're all up each other's butt like, what time do you think the game's going to end? It's in the fourth inning. What time do you think it's going to end? When I was going to Wheeler.
Yeah.
Like, Wheeler played baseball, but he's not a wizard, so he doesn't know what's going to happen in the next, you know, five innings.
No, but when it comes to the timing of it, I mean, I don't even know how many pre and post games I've done in my life, you know, and games I've covered and been at. There's a vibe. There's a pace. You guys are usually, you're correct in asking like for estimates from people like me and Tom and Matt Pauly. You know, I mean, like, we've all done that so much. You got a feel for how long a game's going to be just based on what's happening and kind of how the late innings play out compared to, you know.
And it's going to be a weird week because tomorrow at 1 p.m., the Billikens have their first game in the A-10 championship. So go Billikens. We're really rooting for them. Maybe they could even join SIUE in the tournament. Wouldn't that be something locally?
Four wins will do it.
So if they win, they play again on Friday at 1 p.m., which means we'll be on sometime around 3:30. If they don't, then the show will go on as normal, except without Wheeler.
On Friday, yeah.
On Friday.
I'll be on the road.
Oh, I forgot Wheels was off.
I'll be on the road. They'll be playing, the Billikens will be playing Davidson, by the way. Davidson beat Richmond today, so that's who they play tomorrow.
And how does that match up?
Those two teams are like the
12. Davidson beat Richmond?
Yeah. I mean, Richmond was terrible.
Oh.
Like, these are the two
worst
seeds.
Who am I thinking of that we never beat? It's SLU. Sounds like Richmond.
Yeah, I'm spacing out.
Yeah.
I'm spacing out on it.
But we should be in a good position for the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, these are two of the lesser seeds. The Billikens are a 5 seed.
Yeah.
So these are teams that are like the 12 and 13 seeds. So yeah, the Billikens will be favored. Are you thinking of VCU?
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking
Virginia
of.
Virginia Commonwealth?
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, they're the Rams. There's where you're getting that. They're VCU's tough, man. They're probably the one that's going to win this thing, but I mean, Billikens have a good enough team in a game to get it done, but they're very thin, so they don't have a lot of margin for error as far as their depth of their lineup.
I'm always thinking about margin of depth. It's just
I know that's all he talked about at lunch today.
This is craziness.
I have a question about the Billikens.
Answer it.
Has Jimerson been on the team for 85 years?
Yeah,
it feels like
he's an eighth-year senior.
Yeah, he's 37 years old.
Yeah.
No, he is a sixth-year senior, though.
Mm. Interesting.
So this past weekend, that was the last game of the regular season, and it was senior night at Chaffetz Arena. It was his third senior night.
Does
he got his degree, and he got his jersey, like his senior jersey, framed 2 years ago.
Is he, like, failing college?
No. He's doing really well, but he's not going to be drafted by the NBA, which is why he's not going pro. And with the way things are now, with, you know, the amount of money you can make in NIL and things like that, it's not like he's getting rich, but it's probably not that much different than it would be if he went overseas to play in Europe or Israel.
Do you think
or
he'll
whatever.
Do that?
He could. I don't know. I don't know what his goals
are.
Why isn't
he going to get drafted?
He's not an NBA player.
No.
Yeah.
Jimerson.
No.
Hope he's not listening.
I don't think he is because he's in Washington, D.C., but he would probably agree because if he was, he would have been drafted. He would have entered the draft sometime in the last 3 years.
I just love hearing Rammer make the, like, Jimerson, just the way he says his name.
It's
like,
Jimerson!
It's always stuck out to me. And then recently I'm like, I feel like that guy's been playing for a long time.
He has. And you know what? He owns almost all of the big records in Billikens history now.
I mean, that's awesome.
Let's get him on the show. Let's see if we can get him to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the season's I'm going to go on a limb and guess we could probably make that work.
Yeah.
Call our Billikens buddies.
Yeah, we know people.
Kevin's being mean to him again. Kevin's like, he won't be doing anything.
What are you talking about? He'll still have to finish the semester. That's all he's got to do. Basketball's over.
He's got nothing going on.
Come on, bro. Basketball's over. It means you don't have any extra stuff. Don't be mean.
Maybe he's in debate club.
Maybe.
Maybe he's in Mathletes.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Andrew's accusing Wheels of being mean, but Andrew's definitely the one who's
he's
mean.
Like,
he can do extracurriculars.
Yeah, it's hard to do with sports, man.
Andrew and I would say we walked out of a restaurant today, but that's being generous to us.
We stole out under the cover of night.
I'm not going to say where it was because it's a place we like. And I knew something was going to be bad when we were walking in the front door and there was like a 24-hour restoration van outside.
Oh.
And there were a bunch of guys like mopping up water. And uh-oh, it smelled really, really bad.
No.
It smelled like a bad toilet situation.
And our girl there was lighting like sage and just walking around like trying to get rid of the smell.
Yeah.
And neither of us are grown men. And so we didn't want to say like, hey, it's kind of smelly in here today. We'll see you next week. So when she turned her back, I said, do you want to run? And
oh
he goes,
God.
Yes. Well, so we both just ran out.
So
of
she,
it.
You didn't, she knows who we are.
No.
She knows who we are because we go there somewhat often. And so she had said to, like, we could hear her telling other employees, like, yeah, those are just my regulars. Don't worry about them. Those are my regulars. I'll take care of it when I'm done.
I know I can rely on them today.
Yeah, I'll take care of it once I am done exorcising the demons from this place with the sacred sage. And so we're sitting there and I'm like, Let's just go. And Dave was like, I don't think we can. I think we got to say something. I mean, we'll just be honest. We'll be honest with her. We'll tell her what's going on, and she'll understand. And I'm like, okay, but I'd really rather just get up and run out right now and run it fast. And then after a few minutes, she's still doing it. It's not working. The place still smelled like an absolute toilet.
Yeah.
And so once she kind of got to like a back corner with her back to us, Dave was like, okay, you want to run? I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like already out the door.
Yeah.
I hope she hadn't brought your sodies yet.
No, she hadn't.
Okay.
No.
That makes it better.
She was fully occupied with...
the exorcism.
Yeah, the exorcism.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, it was clear that it was not going to cover that smell.
Yeah, they maybe should have just closed today.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't like Febreze. I feel like Febreze works to an extent, but you put that over like a really bad, strong smell, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, there's always a hint of ass at the end of the smell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always a little... Here's what you're trying to cover up.
Mm-hmm. Little Incense Sticks was an interesting choice, though, because it's not a small place.
So we went to our other place,
mm-hmm,
where we don't like the waiter.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No sign of him. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think he may have worked himself out of that job.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
But that was delicious.
Yeah. We've lived quite a life today.
Sounds like it.
That's crazy.
So
tastes like we ditched. We didn't dine. We just ditched.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just dashed.
Grown men. I'm 60 and I'm walking real fast down the,
well, we walked
down
in
the street. Like, she's
did you guys
chase
just
us.
Not want to order to go? Like, be like, yeah, can you just order?
It was bad. Dude.
It was really bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so in, like, it's just like, you don't want to trust anything being near that stent.
And we kind of got, we wouldn't have even been in the situation, but we walked in. It immediately hits us. Immediately. We're both like, this isn't going to work. But she is happened to be standing right at the door with the sage when we walked in. And so she was like, I take the usual spot. You know where to go. And it was like, ooh.
She's like, oh, man, you guys are probably going to be the only money I make today. Boy, am I glad to see you.
It was like that.
Turns her back. She's like, where'd they go?
It was like that.
My pals I can always count on.
Did you guys make like the Scooby-Doo Fred Flintstone running noise when
pretty
you
much.
Left that little boom?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. There were like other people walking in and sniffing and turning around and walking out.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've had that experience.
So when we go back there, probably Friday, since I always buy your lunch, I'm telling her you pooped your pants.
Okay, that's fine.
And you just own it.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
she's going to be like, how could you tell?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say I couldn't even tell until I left.
We thought you knew when we walked in because you were burning the sage.
Yeah.
It was the damnedest thing. Once we got out of there, I was like, oh, I think that might have been me.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 250 on a Wednesday afternoon. I think the weather's supposed to be pretty nice until Friday evening. Then it's supposed to have a decent shot at severe thunderstorms. So welcome to spring in St. Louis. Isn't it crazy that it's spring, basically?
Basically.
It's not
crazy.
When is it technically?
It's next week or the week after
so
that.
So it is that close.
21st-ish.
All right.
Somewhere around there.
Before you know it, we'll be having the summer forecast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already dreading it. It's become a thing with me now.
I feel ya. Earlier I was driving and it was like just hot enough to where you had to have the window cracked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is what's ahead of us.
Yeah, I know most people love it, but I don't know, in the past 10 years I've had this metamorphosis where I love the burr months. I love September through, and I don't mind winter. But June, July, August are just... me no likey.
Did the old Jeep have the AC still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it really didn't do much. I mean, when it was as open air as that Jeep was 12 months out of the year, like you don't really need it. It's not that bad. Although people with Jeeps know that if you take the top down on a sunny day, you roast.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're getting beat
especially
up by that sun.
This noggin. Because then you have to wear a hat or else you get really sunburned.
Yeah.
So. Listen to all my problems.
You're going to look like a tomato.
Yeah. No bueno. So Starbucks has captured your attention?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of fascinated with the brand. I think it makes sense. I'm a millennial. It's been a huge thing like my whole life and coming of age and stuff. It was like, oh, let's go to Starbucks. They have this new CEO, Brian Niccol, and he is revamping the company. He's taking drinks off of the menu. Like 13 drinks have been eliminated. He's trying to cut down on wait times. He's trying to make it to where all orders take 4 minutes or less to get to you.
Be nice.
Changing things up as far as where you get your order in the store. But what I wanted to talk to you guys about was the fact that he is taking home about $96 million so far, and he just started in September. Now, it looks like he has about a $60,000 a month salary as CEO. They give him a $5 million bonus, and then they did like a $90 million stock buyout of what he had in Chipotle because that's where he was before Starbucks. And it just got me to thinking, like, I've no doubt that this guy is coming in and making huge moves. It looks like he's going to help the company. I mean, I guess we'll know in a couple months when like their earnings reports come out and everything. We'll just see what happens. But he's obviously making huge moves, and that's why they hired him. And everyone has a lot of faith in him. But my question for you guys is, what do you think is a more reasonable amount of money to pay someone in that position? Because obviously he's being paid that because that's about what he was being paid at Chipotle. They wanted to bring in someone who was going to shake things up. So it has a high price tag, but I can't be the only one who feels like that is a little ridiculous just to like the common person to hear $96 million.
Yeah. I mean, so I do pretty well, and I'm increasingly have more pressure on me because I do well because I bring in a lot of money. But when that money falls, then they're looking at me with scratchy eyeballs. They're like, why are we paying you all this money when your money's falling? And so that's one reason, just being very open and honest, why the FM signal is great for me personally, because that means the KMOX ratings will go up, which means the revenues go up, which means they don't give me the scratchy eyeball when it's time to cut the check. Mm-hmm. So I'm nowhere near that level. But when you say, is that about the right amount of money? I think the market tells us what the right amount of money is. Now, anyone bringing home $96 million a year, the rest of us just can't even wrap our minds around it. It might as well be $96 billion. But Chipotle thought he was worth it. Starbucks thinks he's worth it now. And if he adds $1 billion in revenue, then they got a bargain. So he hates billionaires. I kind of hate CEOs. I don't hate them. I'm just a big believer in the Peter principle that everyone rises to their level of incompetence. You familiar with this one?
Yes.
I truly believe that if you're in the corporate world and you are a gunner, meaning you want promotions, you want new titles and raises, that eventually your last one you won't be good at because you have been promoted to your level of incompetence. And I think that there are a lot of CEOs like that. And I'm talking out my ass. Like, it's not like I'm an MBA or something, but it just sort of seems intuitive that that would happen.
Yeah.
It's a long answer to your short question.
Yeah. I don't hate billionaires. I hate billionaires that try to change the rules to be more in their favor and work against us. That's who I hate. If you're a billionaire and you don't lobby for anything, I don't care. Keep your money. Good for you. Love you. You're awesome. But if you're a guy that's worth billions and you just keep spending money to try to get the rules to be more in your favor and less in the regular person's favor, I don't have any time for you. But when it comes to this, like these specific things, I have a bigger issue with the golden parachute than I do with anything compensation related, right? Like if they have to fire you, why should you get more? Because if they're firing you, it means you didn't do the job in some way, shape, or form. Got into trouble, the company started to underperform, whatever. I understand it because you have leverage, right? These guys have leverage. They have the ability to say, well, I'm not joining your company unless you agree to this golden parachute.
Yeah.
So I understand how it works. But that just seems odd. But then again, you know, in sports, guys get guaranteed contracts,
that's right,
too.
Yep. Danielle says, hey, Dave and gang, listening live on Facebook from my hospital room of Como. Bye-bye, pituitary tumor. Thanks for being part of my recovery the last 2 days. Hang it.
Yeah, hang tight.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. As we told you at the top of the hour, and I told you a couple days ago, we're going to annoy you with this, so just know that we are. But at 10 a.m. this morning, our FM signal 98.7 became Hot 98.7, so all of the hip-hop music that was being played on 104.1 is now on 98.7, and we are on 1120 AM, 102.5 HD, KZK. We're on the Odyssey app and all of your podcast platforms, and on the 24th, which is a Monday, we will be on 104.1 FM for good. So there you go. Just so you know. Can I take a minute to respond to something someone sent me? I usually don't, Rach, as you know. These guys always protect me from things that people say. and when they make it through, they're like, just don't worry about it. But this person sent an email, somehow got my email, and it just said, Dave, you seem something like surprisingly okay with trans people, something you want to tell us. So they're obviously trying to be kind of essie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to be kind of mean.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to respond in a real way, as opposed to trying to go tit for tat, no pun. I've always been pretty, you would probably call it liberal, when it comes to human beings. You know, it's like, what the hell? Just let someone live, right? If they're not hurting you, if it's not affecting your life, and it's not, just let people be who they're going to be. But doing this hospice work that I've been doing the last few months, and literally being with people who are laying there dying, until you've done that, I shouldn't say that, doing that adds an extra layer, to me at least, of, oh my God, these are just people. This person, everyone looks alike when you're dying. You have the same look on your face. Male, female, trans, gay, rich, poor, nice person, a-hole. Everything that they have ever been or ever will be is about to go away. And seeing people like that, and seeing how momentous this person's about to be no more, has made me so much more tolerant. Now, you can't just be tolerant of everything. You know, if someone was a pedophile or something, like, they deserve something. But short of that, I just think that we're really, when we get to that stage, we're going to regret being so mean to people, I think. Because what does it really matter? You know, Dylan Mulvaney's out there living her life. Just let her live, you know? Why do you need to make her say uncle and say that she's something that she doesn't believe she is? Why does she need to comport with your beliefs? Why are your beliefs superior? If she's hurting someone, then we have laws. But if she's just being who she is, like, I just don't get it. There's so much more important things wrong with society that we can and should focus on, as opposed to those things. That's all I want to say.
That's really well said, especially the part, like, where do you get the authority to tell someone else who they can and can't be? And how do I get that authority? If I don't agree with how you live, am I allowed to tell you that's not okay? Or is that just for other people from you and not the other way around? I mean, that's what it comes down to. I think if you're just as simple about it as that, you do not weigh more, count more, mean more than any other person. I don't, you don't, nobody does. Right? We're
I
all
think so.
If you're a religious person, you're taught we're all God's children. And if you can show me where there's an exception to that, except these people, then let me know. I'll look up that exception in the Bible if you can tell me which verse and chapter it's in. You know, I mean, it's not that hard to just accept that you are not the authority. Your belief system does not trump anyone else's belief system. That's it. You can be who you are and be who you want and believe what you want. You don't. Nobody says you have to agree with anything, but there's no reason not to treat people with respect.
And I will say, and I've said this several times before, what you just said, I have been saying for years, being critical of the left.
Yeah.
That don't expect people, don't make them say uncle. If someone is a born-again, Christ-following Christian, and they believe that being transgender or even being gay is religiously wrong, it's outside of what God wants. Again, you can have a reasonable conversation with that person, but if they don't want to have that conversation, don't shove it down their throat. Don't expect them to celebrate your life or lifestyle if it goes against their beliefs. I just think that's too long of a putt. Why would you? You're putting your hand in the viper's pit. Why would you expect that? You know, it's one thing to expect respect. I think that everyone should expect respect. But don't expect people to celebrate. Give that up.
No, that's fine. And I agree specifically with that idea when people are like, don't shove anything down anyone's throats. But let me ask you, who shoves their beliefs down people's throats more than really religious people? Who talks more about it? Who puts it out there more? And again, it's fine. I don't care if you do. But if you're a person that believes that it's your job to proselytize and spread the message and push your worldview on other people, then you can't be mad at other people for doing the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, be consistent. If it's okay for you to say, this is what I believe and I'm going to share it with the world, then it's okay for anyone to do that. That's why this country is. We're all equal. We're all citizens. We all have the same rights. And it doesn't matter what you believe, who you are, or any of it.
And isn't that ironic that if you took a snapshot of the globe and were explaining to someone from outside what all the countries were and what they stood for, and you showed them the United States of America, you would likely say something like, this is a very young country. It's an experiment in democracy. They have freedom of speech. They have freedom of and from religion. They have all these things. Basically, you get to be who you want to be, and you get to say what you want to say. And we're working so hard to get rid of that.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah.
We're really like, every time you take a shot at someone else's free speech, you're putting a hole in yourself.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it, man. I also want to be clear, by the way, I'm not saying that all religious people are like that. I'm just saying that a lot are. I have a lot. I mean, most of the religious people that I know are not like that, are not trying to force their views down anybody else's throat and are not trying to take other people's lifestyles and tell them it's not okay or it's not this or it's not that. Most of the people I know are not like that. But there are a lot that are, and they are people that are prominent and they're on television. And maybe they're the terrible examples to follow, but they exist. And nobody's telling them to stop forcing anything down anybody's throats.
Rach, thoughts?
I just, whenever you revealed the contents of that email, I had to smile and laugh a little bit because it's like, what else are you going to do? The thought that it's like, oh, Dave's okay with trans people, therefore he must have some dark secret he doesn't want people to know about trans. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, that is such a sad way to view the world. That if you are empathetic and kind towards a group of people, you must somehow be involved with that group of people. Mm. It's just very, it's laughable, but it also, like, on a base level, it does make me sad that people view things like that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, it's also like, if you did have a connection to the community, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means you're just a human and you know another human who happens to belong to that community.
Right.
Like, that's all it is. And when people do that, they're coming across with this air of superiority.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better than you. Our beliefs are better than yours. What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with anybody. Again, you don't have to follow along. You don't have to agree. I don't agree. There are a lot of religious things I don't agree with, but I'm not telling anyone else you can't do that. I'm not telling anyone else it's wrong for you to do that. I just disagree. Which is fine. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah. If the person was trying to say that I'm closeted trans, I'm really doing it badly.
Having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D. SED.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Gorgeous day out there. 3:23. So, question. Is it okay to quit these days? So, when I was growing up, it was not okay to quit. You don't quit Little League. You don't quit the basketball team. You just don't quit. You don't have to play next year, but you can't quit. That was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of instilled that in my kids. I wasn't like aggressive about it, but you know, Maureen and I always, you know, erred on the side of, you know, why don't we stick this out? You don't have to do it again, but stick this one out. And this generation, what I'm picking up, because my youngest child is 20 now, so I'm no longer doing that. It's a lot more open to, hey, if you don't like it, especially if it's making you unhappy, it's stupid to do it for one more minute. Just stop doing it.
Yeah. I think you're right, Dave. I think we've actually, just my opinion, I think we've overcorrected and now people are quitting things too easily. Like if it were up to me, it would be more of a balance between like, maybe before we get into something, we want to do our research and make sure it's something that we are really, truly interested in. Yeah. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Because I've definitely quit things and I look back and I go, I wish I would have just never gotten involved in the first place. I wish I would have been smarter about that. And then I wouldn't have this quitting on my resume.
I think somebody's on. I think Opal might be on.
It's not.
Not up. Someone's taking an ass beating.
I'll tell you what that is. That's Dave Murray setting up.
It is, but he's not. He's not.
Nobody's potted up here. It's just coming
this
up.
This could go
okay,
bad.
I just turned it off.
Yeah, there you go. That's super weird.
Now
I'm like looking around the room.
The machine?
I'm like looking over the room. So, like, who's making that noise?
Well, so it's no secret that this new setup that we have is made out of like paper and spitballs, and there was already been a whole bunch of problems. I guess when you change something like a very important setting that has to be changed constantly, it just like shuts everything off. That was what the big crisis was at the beginning, because my room in here was like totally dead. So you know, it could be anything. So it's very much not anything Rachel did.
That's wild.
My goodness.
Anyway, yeah. Quitting.
It is terrifying that you can hear something that's potted down. That
yeah,
not
it's
cool.
Not great.
No, it's good bad. Design. Well done, whoever made that.
So anyone a layman, imagine you turn your light switches off and just nothing happens.
They just stay on.
Yeah. They just stay on.
So how about you, Coach? What do you think?
It's all about circumstance. Like I don't think it's ever a bad time to quit a job, because there's a back and forth there, right? If the job is making you miserable, you're not going to be good at it. And you're going to be a detriment to the company most likely anyway. But it also depends to a degree on how many other people rely on you, right? So let's say you joined a little league team and there's 11 kids on the team and you quit. Well, now they only have 10. So if anybody's missing a game, if anybody's sick or anybody's hurt, now the team doesn't have enough players. I think there are things like that where you can use the lesson that you talked about, Dave, which is finish the job. It's not that big of a deal to finish a little league season or to finish your semester on the dance squad or whatever it happens to be. That's a lesson that you can learn from and say, all right, maybe sticking it out, you're going to find out that it's just that you're in a bad spot now. And in 2 months, you might feel pretty good about it. Mm-hmm. And you may want to keep doing it. So you don't want to quit at the first sign of difficulty. I do think it's different in the sense that, like, as a grown person, if you're in a job that you're not getting anywhere in, and you can see that you're not going to get anywhere, and you're not making the money that you want, I don't see that there's a fault there in quitting and going to another job to better yourself. You know, so I guess it very is dependent upon the circumstance. And also, like, the age that you are. If you're a 45-year-old, are you really learning stick-to-itiveness by staying with a job that you hate?
Of course you can't talk to a 4-year-old like this. But you can talk to a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Like we're talking, and really talk about what quitting means, as opposed to just, I didn't quit, and your mother never quit, and you're
exactly.
Not going to quit.
Exactly.
Like, just, you know, talk to them.
On my way to Mars on a collision course. I am a satellite. I'm out.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday, 3:34. Dave Murray joins us officially this time.
Yeah, that's right. That heavy panting you heard was not rain. That was me.
Okay.
just so we know.
Hey, it wasn't 3:34 yet. That's your time.
Dave, never run to the microphone, man.
That's right. I know it. Boy, famous words of Jack Buck, right? Those words still ring in my ears. Because there has been some times when I have had to run into the studio for whatever reason, and it's not pretty. It's just not pretty.
Been there.
Hey, I've got on the recording line where folks can call in and ask questions.
Yeah.
We got something yesterday. It's from Mike from Ellisville. He wanted to know why it is so warm and, more importantly, so dry. The relative humidity and the dew points have been extremely low, and wanted to know why that's the case when we're so relatively close to the rivers and to the Gulf of Mexico. And it's because most of the flow doesn't even have to be at the surface, but in the upper atmosphere, it's a southwest wind. That's always a very dry wind for the St. Louis area. That's what's been going on.
I don't know this Gulf of Mexico you speak of.
Oh, that's right. Gulf of America.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense.
I was confused, but now I'm not.
I was looking at a map and it's just wrong.
He's just wrong. This guy's a meteorologist.
Yikes. That'll take a while to get used to.
Yes.
Yes. Dude, that happens all the time, like in sports when they change the name of a stadium and you just can never remember to change it to the new sponsor name or whatever
well,
in your head.
Well, Riverport's always going to be Riverport.
Right, right.
Riverport will always be Riverport.
Yeah.
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 Period.
I've always thought that is, and I've obviously never been at the level to even think about this, but that's always seemed like a poor use of your money for marketing. To name a stadium, and maybe I'm just wrong, but I just can't imagine going to the Progressive Insurance Stadium and being like, you know what, I should call Progressive. Like, it just, like, A doesn't connect to B with me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Anyhow.
I don't know. I have Geico insurance because I needed insurance, and Geico was the one that I've seen the most commercials for. You know what I mean?
You like geckos.
Yeah, I do. I like that little guy. I suppose.
Little British geckos.
Having a 20-year-old that likes to run into other cars, I just go with whatever company will accept me.
Yeah, that's about it.
Hey, people got to have a hobby, okay?
I got my insurance card the other day, and it said some kind of specialty insurance. I'm like, I know what that means.
Yeah, that means I've got a young person on there.
It means no one wants to insure me.
Very, very important customer.
Yes. Yeah, she tends to get mad at me when she hits cars, too.
Well, it's your fault.
It's your fault. Come on, Dad.
Wait a minute. How's that work?
I don't know. She's a mystery to me.
Well, how does it go? What does she say?
The last time it happened, she had her second wreck in about 2 months, and I was trying to be, you know, cool Dave. And I made some kind of little joke about it to kind of let her off the hook, and she just lambasted.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's more the defensiveness about it than it is like blaming you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
It worked. Shut my ass up. If I had done that to Jack Glover, just count to three because you're going to be knocked out. Right?
Don't even have to get to three.
Here comes the right cross. And I'm like, oh, no, I think I've upset her. I hope she'll be okay. So, Dave, how are we getting to Friday? How are we looking?
Tomorrow's another spectacular day. There could be a little shower overnight tonight. Spotty. Let's not worry about it. It's kind of a warm front coming through, but lots of sunshine again tomorrow. 78 degrees. The record's 86, not even close to that, but well above average. All is quiet on Thursday night, partly cloudy, 56. There is an eclipse, full eclipse of the moon, early, early Friday morning. The peak of the eclipse is 1:58 in the morning. Hopefully we'll get a peek at that because I don't think we'll be completely cloudy at that stage of the game. Friday, cold front starts to move in. Low pressure from the west, partly sunny skies. It's windy. It's still very warm Friday, near 80 degrees, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing Friday afternoon. That continues Friday night. Some of those could be strong to severe. The weekend is quiet, lots of sunshine, but it's cooler because of this. This is a strong cold front. Saturday, 66, and Sunday, 49. For the high temperature. Prime time for storms will be 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday, not tomorrow. This is Friday event. Some could be strong to severe. Where those happen, heavy downpours of rain, intense lightning, winds over 60 miles per hour, and the possibility of isolated tornadoes. Not a widespread hail event trying to unfold. Still a lot of questions about this thing of how much moisture will be in the atmosphere, but the cold front is strong, so it's something we'll have to pay attention to.
So I looked up the KMOX rules, and evidently the fact that Dave's a meteorologist and Wheeler is a certified weather spotter, if the two of you agree, you can override Michael Calhoun, and we can go into storm mode at any point.
Oh, that's like they're having two keys for the
yes.
nukes.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But we include Michael with that, too.
Yeah,
he does get excited.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The first time we went into storm mode, I had no friggin' idea what was happening. All I knew is that suddenly Michael Calhoun was in the studio. He was twice as big, and he was just like serious as a heart attack. And said something about storm mode, and everyone around here was jumping. And I'm like, okay.
I have to say, Storm Mode, it's so cool to watch Michael and Dave broadcast during Storm Mode, though.
Fun.
Because it's like, there's really only one thing to talk about. There's many things to talk about within that one thing.
They keep the ball in the air.
To watch them stay on topic is very, very cool.
Agreed.
Agreed. The record for me is 8 hours straight.
Oh, my goodness.
Dang.
That's nuts.
And no potty break.
Wow.
What was that storm? Do you remember?
I don't remember the date, but there were two. There was a week of severe weather. It was a Tuesday, Thursday event. Tuesday, I set the record at 7.5 hours straight. Thursday, it was 8 hours straight. So that all happened in 1 week. And
jeez.
I have to say, by the time Friday at 11 o'clock rolled around, it was like time out.
Man, I would have had a cold front in my pants. 8 hours, Dave's peeing. Dave's peeing somewhere.
He's like, the barometric pressure there is not great.
Yeah, I may not go in a bathroom, but I'm going.
But you know what? You don't. You know, anybody who wants to do this for a living, do not. You say to yourself, I should drink water. I should stay hydrated. Do not drink water.
It's like dry yourself out.
Do not drink anything.
Yeah, being a third-year surgical resident, as I am on TikTok, they were talking about this. And, you know, some, like, neurosurgeons especially have to do 5 to 10 hour surgeries, and they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying the same thing. Like, you have to take care of yourself. You have to be healthy. You have to be hydrated. You have to have enough protein, but not enough hydration that you have to pee. That's
right.
Insane.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We can pee anytime we want here.
Yeah, every hour.
We have it pretty good.
Every hour, top of the hour.
Yeah. Sometimes I pee when I don't have to. Headlines,
that's
Rach?
Safety. That's
yes,
a safety.
That's thing. Right.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So a French book rights owner is taking on Meta over AI. They filed a lawsuit against Meta, accusing the tech company of using copyrighted protected content without authorization to train its AI systems.
I have a question about oligarchs that own platforms. It seems to me like Elon Musk and Zuckerberg are bad people. Just my humble opinion. Do you think that anyone with that much money and that big of a company and that much influence were going to think that they're an a-hole? Or do you think that, no, maybe they just are?
What?
That's a great question.
Like, maybe I'm just intimidated by powerful people or something.
I'm going to guess they were born that way.
Yeah, see, I also think it depends on how they act, right? The sheer amount of money you have or what you quote-unquote own is not really the issue. It's how do you act about it? Like, how do you treat that business? And look at the kind of the shady things that Zuckerberg's done. With, you know, the way they run ads, with the way they've let certain things go on their social on Facebook or Instagram. Look at how Elon changes things based on what suits him, not what makes sense, not what is fair, not what is accurate, just what he likes. I mean, and that's those people at that level influence so much because they connect with tens of millions of people. Those apps. I mean, hundreds of millions of people are involved in those apps. And you can really impact, like, the view of politics, the view of business, the view of almost anything, just by shading things in your own way.
Yeah, I don't know if you're bound to become like that. I don't have that view of, like, a Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't either.
But people like, you know, Elon has everything Elon has going on. And then Zuckerberg got his start creating Facebook as a way to rate women's appearance in a very derogatory fashion. So it's like, where did we really think it was going to go from there? This is obviously someone who's on a bit of a power trip.
Yeah, I had a couple of conversations with Jack Dorsey back when my partner Scott and I were doing Fox Paw. And it could be that if I talked to Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, that they would be very nice as well. But Jack was exceedingly nice. Like, he was a normal dude. And it helped, like, being from St. Louis. And, he's a very St. Louis guy. I think his mom and dad listened to the show. But he was just like a normal dude. He was just talking to me about the business and giving me advice. It was really nice.
And you can see, though, he's not chasing that power, though.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's not doing the things that you can see those other two doing. right? I mean, he's not out there trying to buy access to the White House. He's not out there doing the things that Zuckerberg does just to, I guess, make more money. I don't know. I don't know what Zuckerberg's motivations are, but he's always playing games with what he's doing. It's about how you act. It's about, like, what are you out there trying to, again, I said this earlier, are you trying to turn the tables so that they're more in your favor, or are you just doing your thing? If you're just doing your thing, I think most people are like, whatever, bro, you just, you know, be what you want.
Speaking of these apps, TikTok, the extension is expiring soon. It's approaching on April 5th. Potential buyers have expressed interest in acquiring the app. Offers have reached up to $30 billion, but it remains uncertain if ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, is willing to sell. If the deal is not reached, the app could face a ban, but President Donald Trump has hinted at a possible extension of this deadline if necessary.
I know Trump wants America to own half of it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we'll be your American partner. The country will be your partner, and we'll take half the profits, and we'll take the responsibility. So,
well, so we want the government that nobody trusts to have half ownership of one of the most popular social media companies on the planet?
I trust our government a little bit.
I'm just saying there are so many people that don't trust our government.
Right.
The government's wrong. It's bad. It's terrible. It's this and that. Well, and so now we want them to own half of that, so they have access. They have access to all our data. All those terrible. I'm not the one that claims those things. By the way, I don't hate our government. I don't distrust.
That would be a pretty good plan on their part. Like if this were their long con, you know, like we just need to get
the whole time.
Yeah, we just need to get them to buy half this thing. We'll be partners.
If it was, that's funny.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Quick little segment here. Rach, I thought of you last night. I saw a guy who I guess he has a disorder.
It's already going so well.
He hates to eat.
Okay.
He dreads every bite of food.
Wow.
He doesn't enjoy it. He thinks it feels weird in his body. And he feels trapped and claustrophobic that if he's going to stay alive, he has to eat.
Right.
He wishes that, like, feeding tubes were easier. Just hook me up to one and let me go about my business. And he's like, maybe once a year I enjoy a good cheeseburger. And other than that, I dread every bite of food.
Wow.
And there were tons of comments. It was a TikTok. Tons of comments of people saying, I've never heard anyone say this. I have the same thing. Like, I don't enjoy eating with my family. I hate going out to eat. I just have to fake it. Really interesting.
Why did that make you think of me?
Because we both struggle so much with loving to eat so much.
Okay, I was going to say, because that's like the opposite of me.
Yeah,
like,
no.
All I want to do is eat.
Yeah, no, because we talk about it incessantly. So, here's a guy who just wishes it could all go away.
It makes sense that you would be obsessed with wanting to eat because your body needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you get a sense of satisfaction from making your body feel the way that it wants to feel, which is why you're right.
Just making me hot.
But when you're the opposite of that, it's like detrimental to you. That's where you're getting to the point where you probably need to seek some help.
Yeah, yep. It sounds like he has anorexia or something.
Yeah, it's different. Like, they were discussing that it's different than that because he doesn't care how he looks.
Okay.
He's like, I wouldn't care if I was 100 pounds more. I just don't like the act of eating. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. A few minutes past.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm.
Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
It's 4 p.m. This feels like a full show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even though we started at 2:30, it's kind of weird. The Cardinals let us down. 2-hour and 7-minute game. You just can't depend on the boys anymore. Our good friend Matt Pauley's here from the sports department, back from Florida. Welcome home.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you.
Good to see you guys.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
All right, I have a thing for you guys.
All right.
We'll keep it to baseball, although you could expand this to all major sports. Who in baseball has the best thing? Is it Boston with the
oh, so like team, not person.
Yes. What team has the best?
I was about to answer Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's got the best thing? Is it Wrigley Field? Is it Cardinals Nation?
Gotcha.
Is it the big green monster? Like, who's got the best thing? Pinstripes?
Yeah, probably the Yankees. That's what I would go with. Just the aura that is the New York Yankees. You know, if you go to the Philippines or like insert random country that's nowhere near us and you mention baseball, the only experience those kids have are watching Yankees stuff on YouTube. So I would say the Yankees and just the aura that is everything the New York Yankees.
Man, that is a really great question.
Feel free to use that on Gas House.
Yeah, man. Like, because it could mean so many. Like, I think the Green Monster is a thing. You know, like it's a I'm a fan of like unique ballparks that are not symmetrical and they're a little weird.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean,
where's the one you had to run up?
That was Houston.
Yeah, that was Houston with Taos Hill.
They got rid of that.
Yeah, thankfully, because that was not good for safety. But it was fascinating. I mean, I don't know how I want to go on that, because I mean, I won't use the Yankees because Matt made the good case there. They have the aura. They've got the where they chant the starting lineup's names. Like they
play New York.
Yeah, they got all that. I'm not going Sweet Caroline because that's stupid. I think Wrigley Field's overrated. It's good, don't get me wrong. I think it's overrated. It doesn't mean it's not good. I still rate it as a fun place to be, and it's cool. But, I mean, green ivy on the walls only goes so far.
Skyline in Pittsburgh?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Even the skyline here.
The skyline behind here is a really cool look.
I think we got number two in the MLB behind Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think you're right in voting. Like, people have gone through that. I'm going to have to just go with the monster, because to me it's old, but it's also it impacts the game. It's a part of how you play when you're there. How do you build your lineup? What starting pitchers do you want to? Do you want to put your lefty starting pitcher out there? Because if he's not a stud, that's a risky day, because pulled pop-ups can be home runs. So I'll go with that, but there's so many great possibilities there.
The celebrities you see behind home plate in Dodger L.A. with Stadium. The Dodgers, you know, when Mary Hart and whoever else is going to be back.
And that's
there.
Exempting here, because here, I think this might be one of the top two or three opening days.
Yeah.
You know, when you're thinking about the Clydesdales and the Hall of Famers and the whole thing. So, like, I don't know anybody does it better than here on opening day. And that's not just me blowing smoke, because I've been to a lot of opening days in a lot of places, and I've covered a lot of them, and I've lived in a lot of places, and nothing comes close to this.
Yeah.
And by the way, players from other teams will say that. They sit out there on the rail and watch for a reason, because most places opening day doesn't look like what it is here.
Rach, I know you're not the sports fan that these guys are, but does something stand out to you?
In all of baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, I only know what I know, and that's the Cardinals, and I mean, I agree with Wheels. The opening day is just such a spectacle. I had never been to one until I was like 21 years old, and I was like, okay, now I finally know what everybody's talking about. Just like the crush of red downtown.
Yeah, it's Mardi Gras.
It is.
Except for baseball. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just saying to Wheels that before spring training, I knew Nolan Arenado. I was a fan. I got it. I've sort of fallen in love with him.
Okay.
Hearing him talk, he's so smart. And he seems, everything he says just seems reasonable to me. And last night I was watching on MLB, and he was talking about the way I approach practice is I approach it like a game, so that when the games come along, I don't have to ramp up. I'm already right where I need to be. I don't want to start something. I just want to be at something. Is he the same way in person or more?
Yeah, he's very... for some reason, people have like this view of him that he's this grouchy grouch.
Difficult.
And he's not.
Well, but he's hard on himself.
Yes.
Which is what it looks... So when he's mad at himself, when he's struggling, it looks like he's Mr. Grump, but it's only because he wants to be better. You know what I mean? Like, that's a different thing than being a difficult person.
I've never had a negative interaction with him. And my first interaction with him was when he was playing AAA baseball for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, and I was one of their broadcasters.
Holy crap.
So, and I reminded him about that last year. I was like, you don't remember me, but I was one of your broadcasters at AAA back in the day. And we talked for a while about it. He was really interested in that. So, when you need time from him, he gives it to you. I just, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else you like? You've lived a life that we will never get to live.
Yeah. Look, this whole group of Cardinals, there's very few bad dudes around. I can't, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the post game show host and I'm on KMOX. Like this, there is not a single person on that team that I don't feel comfortable walking up to and asking, "Hey, you got 5 minutes for me?" And obviously, sometimes they've got more important stuff to do. If the question is between going and getting in the cage and getting their work done or talking to me for 5 minutes, they're going to the cage. But if they don't have anything else to do in that moment, every single one of them is going to say yes. It is a really good group of people.
Yeah. I would say that just in general in sports, we overdo how many troublemaker guys we think exist in sports. Because, I mean, I covered the Rams. And that's a big locker room. It's a lot of people. It's 55 guys, 54, 55 guys, 60 if you count practice squad. Almost all of them were awesome. There's almost nobody there that's difficult. The Blues never had a problem with anybody. You know, I've done college sports. I've done the NBA. I've done baseball for years here. And there are just so few difficult people. There are some that are less talkative than others, sure, right? Like, that's a different thing. And that's not necessarily a good or a bad. It's just that's how you are.
Yeah.
But there are just... I think people inflate in their minds the number of guys, the percentage of guys in pro sports that are difficult because there just aren't that many.
Yeah. How does the rest of spring training play out? Meaning, what is there a different focus than the first half?
We're at a point now where guys are going to really be playing deeper into games. We're going to continue to see more and more players get reassigned to minor league camp fairly often. And the results are going to start to matter a little bit because we're going to start to say, okay, what this guy is doing now probably translates a little bit more to what it's going to look like at the start of the regular season. Not can somebody struggle for the next 2 weeks and then all of a sudden opening day hits and a light switch switches and they're fine? Yes, and that will happen. That's going to happen to multiple guys, both from a positive standpoint and a negative standpoint. You see guys kill it in spring and then all of a sudden it's regular season. And it's like, this guy's a AAA player. What in the world is he doing on a major league roster? But generally speaking, from here for the next 2 weeks, because tomorrow marks 2 weeks from opening day, for the next 2 weeks, this is where we can actually start looking at the results, individual player results, and start seeing what that might look like moving forward.
And you'll see, like, if you're watching the game or listening, like today, four or five guys in the lineup played the whole game. Like, a week ago, that wasn't happening. A week ago, they're playing four or five innings and they're gone. And like Ryan Helsley, you'll notice he'll start appearing in the ninth inning or in the eighth inning. The late inning relievers will start appearing later in games. Where up till now, they were getting in the third, fourth, fifth inning because that's when the good players on the other team are still playing and they want to face good on good. So you'll notice that. You'll notice like Miles threw five innings today, which means next time out he's going to probably shoot for six. And that's kind of where they want to be, six or seven, when they get to the regular season as far as your pitch count build up. The results thing is really... it's really strange. I'm not trying to pick on Miles, but he's a great example of it because if you look at last year in spring training, he had a 2.14 ERA. He was awesome. The year before that, he had a 0.00 ERA in the spring. And if I remember right, he did a bunch of games on the backfields. I think
that was the WBC year,
right,
too.
Because he was with the WBC. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yep.
But I mean, like, and the last 2 years in the regular season didn't go well. So good doesn't necessarily mean good, and bad doesn't necessarily mean bad. Literally anything's possible, and that's why if you're concerned, it's great. Hold on to your concern, but start to be concerned with results when the games start counting.
So every year, going back as far as you want to go, there have been players that didn't make the opening day roster who could have or should have. Is it just that I'm more engaged this year? Because it seems like there are more guys that it's going to be a damn shame that they're not in St. Louis on the 27th.
I disagree with you, actually. I think we're at a point now where it's pretty clear who's going to be, who's deserving of making the roster. And guys who go get sent to AAA, I don't think they're going to have a gripe. In fact, there's going to be some guys on the opening day roster that if they got sent to AAA, they didn't have a gripe. And there's going to be a shuttle between St. Louis and Memphis this year, especially when it comes to the bullpen. But I think we're at a point now where it's going to take some pretty major movement in these final 2 weeks for some guys to either play off or play themselves onto the roster.
So let's flesh that out, because I think that some of it's been settled, Dave, the guys that you're talking about. Like, if nothing changes, Victor Scott's going to be the center fielder. Like, if he doesn't go into the tank in the next 2 weeks and just stop hitting, there's no way he can't be this. I mean, at this point, the competition between him and Ciani is over. If it was a boxing match, it would have been a knockout. Like, it's not close. And if that's not what it is, that would be the disappointment that you're talking about. And that, to me, would be, again, we don't know what the next 2 weeks hold. If Victor Scott goes 0-for-15 and strikes out 9 times and botches 4 plays in the outfield, he might play his way out of that. But even if I think even if he stinks for 2 weeks, he's just been so much better than Ciani and has so much more upside. I can't see an argument for Ciani at this point over him. I guess there are other ways they could go. Like, they could decide we'll keep Kopierniak as a backup and play Newt in center every day. But they're not going to do that. I just don't think that's in the realm of possibilities.
How are we feeling about Contreras at first? How's he look?
Great.
Yeah, he's been fine.
Yeah, he's hitting it. He looks like a natural first baseman over there. I didn't see him not make a play in my month down there.
Yeah.
So,
look, I want to say this.
I know what you're going to say.
And when you're a catcher,
there we go.
A day at first base is a day off.
That was worse than I thought you were going to say.
It is. It's a day off. It's so much easier than the catching position. Everything is. Like, what's the most difficult play at first base? Probably scoop on a throw. I think the bigger difficulty is when you have to come off the bag and make a tag. Like, catch the ball coming off the bag and make the tag.
But those pitcher covering at first where you underhand the moving target.
Yeah, but you're fine on that one. That's just underhand flip to on a timing thing. But I think it's either the scoop or it's the ball coming off the bag. But the one coming off the bag is not an everyday play, right? The everyday play that's difficult is the scoop. What do you do nonstop all day when you're catching? You're catching throws from 60 feet, by the way, not 120 feet from shortstop to first base, at high velocity, and some of them you're scooping them out of the dirt. Like, you literally spend your whole life doing that. So you have that hand-eye coordination. You have that skill built up. The questions will be like things like turning double plays.
Yeah.
Do you have the right footwork for that to do it efficiently? That's stuff that will be more of a challenge. But he's an athlete, right? A lot of catchers are not. He's an athlete. And by the way, you know, Yadi was a good first baseman, too. You just never wanted to play him there because he was such a good catcher. You know, he was so good defensively, it was a waste to put him anywhere else. I think guys that have that skill set can handle first base without too much trouble.
Good. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, buddy. 424 DG, Asim KMOX. Lisa's story on Facebook says, Dave, you remind me of my 3.5-year-old grandson rocking back and forth when he has to go potty.
Well,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Just make a drinking game out of it.
Now, I didn't think of this before, but do you do that when you're on stage, like when you're with your band? Or are you more stationary?
No, I don't actually. But that's because there's so many things to do when I'm on stage.
I got you. Yeah.
And when I do stand-up, which you guys have seen me do several times, I don't stand in one place and rock back and forth.
So you're already moving around.
But
yeah.
I'm a pacer.
Yeah.
So I go back and forth on the stage.
Gotcha. I was just curious because it got a little Axl Rose sway going.
Yeah. And I don't do it at home. Like, because I'm usually stationary.
Oh, that's true. When you're sitting down.
I'm sitting down, and I don't rock when I'm sitting or kind of laying. But yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if you dropped Kim Kardashian into one of our lives where she had to go grocery shopping, she had to pay real bills with not enough money, she had to, you know what I mean? Like, how would she do being a normie?
Not well, I'm going to guess. They actually did this on SNL. They did like a video of what if she switched lives with Adi Bryant, who I think is really funny. And it was a funny take on it. But, you know, Kim Kardashian says things all the time, like, oh, if I could have one thing, I would just want to be able to go to the grocery store and do my grocery shopping, because I'm not able to do that now, I guess, because she would get mobbed by paparazzi.
Sure. We all got problems.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure you really want to do that.
Yeah, I think she would wake up and not have glam ready to do her hair and makeup in the morning and be like, this sucks. And now I got to go to a job where I make not that much money.
Yeah.
And no one's telling me how awesome I am all day. Like, ugh.
Amy says, got a random question. What is the monitor above Rachel's head used for?
Oh, you know, it's just a mirror of this monitor that carries our wide orbit system. Wide orbit is the system that we use to, you know, do all of our commercials, all of our imaging and stuff. It basically just shows me what's up next on the show, and we know when to start and stop. And that's just a mirror of it for Dave to see and other people to see. It's also used during Cardinals games for other things, which I can't really get into because I've never used it before.
Logging commercials and things
like
that. Yeah.
Are you old enough that you used carts?
Oh my God, yeah. Dude, that was the worst. That when I was, because when I was I was brand new. So guess what my job was? My job was to, you know, like put highlights onto those carts from a reel to reel. So we would record on a reel to reel, and then you would physically edit the tape, and then you'd run it onto a cart. But then you had to bulk the carts at the end, which means you have to erase what's on there because you just reuse them.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like 8-tracks for people that don't know what they look like. They like 8-track players with like either 30 seconds or 60 seconds worth of tape in there. And you just re-rack them over the time. You put them over a magnet. It deletes everything, and then you do it again.
Sounds awful.
It
sounds impossible.
It is so stupid and dumb, and it took forever. It was such a waste of time. I got it mastered where I wouldn't physically cut the tape because it took so long and it was annoying. I could figure out how to play it on two different pots so that I could get them all set up and get the sound that I needed on one cart without having to physically cut things.
You didn't use them, did you?
No.
Like even in college?
No, that was before my time.
I'm old.